is, he grew up in a Christian home. If you knew his mom and dad, great saints of God. And we were having a Bible study. He says he remembers what scripture it was. I don't remember. But he basically said, "What must I do to be saved?" And I said, "Let's pray." And he said, "Okay." That was, you know, big move on my part. But, you know, when I think back who was instrumental in helping me to grow in Christ, I would say Irene and her husband, George. He was one of my mentors and a great example. And when I think about those people I'm looking forward to seeing in heaven, George is one of them. And, you know, and others. And, yeah, so I feel like I'm too loud or I'm echoing or something. I'll just back away from the mic. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, it's really great to be here. This is where I grew up. If you don't know us, if you're new to the church, or you don't have to be very new, we moved away 20 years ago, and you don't know who we are, my name is Dennis Holt. My family moved here in 1964, I think it was. I was 2 years old and decided it's time for a move. Let's go. Brought my parents with me, and my brothers and my sisters, and we grew up here on the island. And I met my wife here in 1985. She came out for a summer job. Corrine, why don't you guys stand up real quick? All you guys. Yeah. My daughter's here, Tia, and she was born. And Jesse is here. He was actually born here. Well, you know, shipped to the mainland, born, and then brought back. And then his new wife, Micah, but I'll let them share a little bit. One person that's not with us today is my son, Seth, and that's it right there. He's a little bigger now, and he's back in Georgia, the Republic of Georgia, watching our stuff for us. If you don't know where the Republic of Georgia is, let me give you just a little bit of a lesson. This is the map. Georgia is that is that kind of tan area with the two different colors in. If you're wondering what those two different colors are, that's where the Russians came to visit and never went home. So they call those autonomous republics, basically controlled by Russia, unfortunately. And up above us, you can see Russian Federation, and then Turkey, and then Armenia, Azerbaijan, and just to help, Iran's right down below us here. And then there's the Black Sea, and over on that side is the Caspian Sea. Many people still think, after this many years, we're in Russia. We did live in Russia for 7 years, then we moved to Georgia, and we've been there for just over 14 years. So we work with an organization called Youth with a Mission, where a lot of people just know it as YWAM. They don't even recognize it when you say Youth with a Mission. They only know the initials. And it's an organization where we believe in really championing young people. And we've been doing that since 1960, started with Lauren Cunningham, if you've ever heard of him, his wife, Darlene, real apostles for missions, and really great people. We kind of got that call in 1990. We heard about this school that they run called the Discipleship Training School. And actually, our pastor here, Pastor Ernie Stone at the time, had done it. He said, "You know, this would be really good for you guys." I was the youth pastor at the time, like Jonathan said, running the teen center, involved in campus life and all kinds of things going on here. And I was actually, they had me on the elder, or on the, we had a, not an elders board back then. What was it called? The church council? Yeah, I was on the church council until I quit, and they said, "Let's not have him on there anymore." And they didn't put the next guy on. It was a fun time in the church back then. Much more traditional than it is today. But good times. I remember God really moving in those times as well. And Pastor Ron came in that time. That was great. And God has done so much. It's so refreshing to come back here and see that the church is still following God. You know, we get off track, all of us sometimes, but I think the heart is still to follow God. And in our mission, that's one of our key foundational values, is that we want to hear the voice of God and follow. And Caroline said I should preach more, so I'm going to preach just a little bit more. She said not to stop. I want to show you something. They're really cool. Have you guys seen these? This is Operation Christmas Child, or Samaritan's Purse. And you fold this up, you make a box out of it, and you fill it with gifts for children in faraway lands. How many people have done that? All right, good job, guys. Well, you know who gets to hand those to people? Me. and my team. We are one of the recipients of these, and I can't tell you the joy that it brings to some of these kids when you hand them a Christmas box from somebody they've never heard of, they don't know. These don't just come from America. They do them in Europe as well. And to see the joy on their faces, and it's such an opportunity to share Christ with them. And sometimes people put notes in there. I want to encourage you, don't just fill them with stuff. Put a note in there. Because I get to translate them sometimes to kids or to parents. What is this? What does it say? And I can say, oh, this says, мы любим тебя. Мы очень рад. Мы можем подарить тебе эти вещи и поглубить тебя тоже. Мы хотим, ты будешь знать это. You know what I mean? And, or in Georgian, maybe. And, so I just want to throw that up there really quick. Thank you for that. Thank you for supporting missions, for supporting us, for sending people out. There's some other very special people here from YWAM. I just want to introduce, if you don't know them, sitting in the back. Would you guys stand up for a second? This is Corina. You might know her mom and dad. They used to live over here, Jose and Carlin. And then Justin, her husband, and baby there. What's baby's name? I forget. Brennan, I should know that, right? They've come down from Oakhurst, California, just for 4th of July to hang out a bit and talk about what God might be doing in the future. So they're really faithful guys serving with YWAM as well. Yeah. So get to know them. Great people. Why missions? Why do we do missions? God has a heart for the nations. And I often say in church exists because of missions. We often think, I've heard people refer to YWAM and other organizations as para-church organizations. What does that mean? That they serve under the church somehow? Missions are the church. It's the church at large. Because the church is us, right? It's the people. It's not the building. And that's why we exist. Why does God not just call us up into heaven when we get saved? Or just say, okay, you're saved, now go out and live your life. He calls us together in gatherings, right? Ecclesia. That's on the wall here somewhere, it used to be? I know you say ecclesia, but in other parts of the world, they say ecclesia. But it means the called out ones, the gathering of the saints. And that is our job in the world, to reach the nations. God has a heart for the nations. Here's some of the people that we serve with, because God wants to call every nation to every nation. The call is not just for Americans. The call is for everybody to go. So on our team, this is some of our staff here. We have somebody from Korea, from Ukraine, from Kyrgyzstan, from Azerbaijan, from Armenia, from Georgia, any different ones? There's a couple of Germans in there, from Russia, from Belarus, and some Americans in there somewhere. Because God wants to call every nation to every nation. And I want to let you know, as a church, you're part of that, whether or not you go or not. God calls us to every people. That might be the person across the street, or it might be to the ends of the earth. My wife and I, we felt like for us it was to the ends of the earth, literally. Georgia is 12 time zones from here, so it makes us exactly pretty much on the other side of the world. We can fly either direction and get here in about the same time. And it's a real privilege to serve God in that way. But, you know, it's a privilege to know God and to serve Him however He's calling you. God was showing me something this morning as I was just asking Him for something special for today. And I remembered a couple of scriptures. I often quote Matthew 28:18-19, where, you know, it says, go and make disciples of every nation. And it doesn't say go and get people saved. That's part of it, isn't it? But it says go and make disciples of every nation. That means go to every people group everywhere and call them to follow God. And, of course, that is individually, like Jesus calling Matthew, follow me. He didn't say, are you saved? Can you come down front, raise your hand? He said, follow me. And for every individual and every nation, that's God's desire. And I was thinking about John 3:16, where it says, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever should believe in Him or put their faith in Him will not die but have eternal life. And we often think, Yeah, praise the Lord for Jesus, and that rightly so. But sometimes we forget, that's the Father. The Father cared for us so much that He sent His only Son, that we could have eternal life. He cared so much, He made the greatest sacrifice to give your own Son. And, I can't imagine that kind of love. And then I reflected on another scripture where our main call, there's three main commands in the New Testament. What are they? Give me one. Love God. Yeah. What's the other one? Love others. Love your neighbors. Love people, right? And what's the other one? No, that's Old Testament. That's a good one. In the New Testament, Jesus said, go, thank you. She was in the last service. But, yeah. He said, go. It's the last thing He said, right? Because God, again, wants to reach every nation. And as I was reflecting on those commands, love God. We often talk about that in the Greek as being agape. There's three kinds of love in Greek. And that means unconditional love. That means just love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, everything. But when it says love your neighbor as yourself, the word it uses is the same word. That we need to be willing, like God, to send His Son, we need to be willing to give everything for the nations. That is the love that God has for your neighbor and for the person across the street, the next town, and to the ends of the earth. And, I don't know if you thought about that before, but He cares so much for the nations. And the people He's chosen to reach them are you. So be asking God, how can I be involved in that? You know, maybe that's going and doing a short-term mission trip. Maybe it's just being faithful and talking to the person across the street or somebody you meet downtown or something. But it could also be meaning look at the map and say, God, where do you want me to be? There's like, I think, about 235 nations in the world. I've only been to about 50 of them, but I know there's more. But I know people, some Y members that have actually been to every nation. And but you could just pick one. Don't just throw a dart. You know, ask God, where do you want me to go? And that might be, He wants you to focus on that. Like this church focuses on Georgia. You actually have our family, and the church also, I think, supports Seth, my son, as well. And what other nations do you guys use? Haiti? What else? Japan? Mexico. Well, this church is touching the nations. And these are the nations that God has brought to them. And you can ask God, who do you want me to go to? And it may be go there, it may be support somebody there, maybe just to encourage people, or maybe to send some of these Samaritan purse boxes out there. Okay, so now I'm actually going to go back to the slides here. That's our staff. Next one. Corrine, were you going to come up? She's not going to come up. Okay. This is St. Nino. This is a young lady who came to Georgia on vacation. Well, maybe not on vacation. There's some rumors about how she got there. Either she was taken as a slave there, or she maybe voluntarily went there. But she worked for the king and queen of Georgia. And through some miracles, which would be a long story I could tell you about, but really miraculous stuff, both the king and the queen came to Christ. And the king and queen declared, this will be a Christian nation. So that's how Georgia came to Christ. Of course, it took time to get through the people and into their hearts. But that was about the year 325. So they're one of the oldest Christian nations in the world for 1,700 years. And you might think, why go there if they're all Christians? Well, you know, it's like America. It's like somebody said to me once here in this church, she came and I was praying for her. And I said, well, have you given your life to God or are you a Christian? She says, I was born in America, so I'm a Christian. You know, and Georgians think the same thing. You know, but they need to know that God wants to know them personally, that they really personally need to come to Him and say, I want to know you, God. I want to be cleansed of my sins. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And she was just a young lady when she did that. So she's a great example. I actually have this picture in my living room. One of our staff drew it, and she's holding a cross, and she's holding a Bible, but she's showing the way to know God through His Word and through Jesus Christ. And actually, we use this a lot in even evangelism. We'll go out and we'll take little pictures like this to Georgians, and we'll say, who is this? And they'll go, oh, that's St. Nino. I said, can you tell us about St. Nino? And they'll go, yeah, she came to Georgia a long time ago. Well, then you can begin to kind of, some people know a lot more, but segue into, well, why did she come? Do you ever notice what she's holding, a cross and a Bible? And they'll go, oh, yeah, I never noticed that. And you can begin to tell why she came. Because for them, that's their hero. I think about 20% of the girls born in Georgia are named Nino. Or a derivative of Nino. There's lots of nicknames for Nino. And the other, all the guys are named Georgi or George. A lot of them. For St. George, who was like the patron saint. But yeah, so she's a great example for us. And also the importance of sending out young people to the nations. They really can change nations. There we go. This is our message. This is what we preach. This is what, you know, I've had a lot of Bible training, degrees and things like that. And but when it comes down to it, it's a very simple message. This is, if you know this picture, it's called The Prodigal Son by Rembrandt. I've actually seen the original. It's in Russia. It's in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. And it's amazing. It's, you see so much more. It's actually, there's a mom back there in the back corner. You can't see her in this picture. It's about this big. And you come in and you just stand in awe. Rembrandt, of course, was a wonderful Dutch artist. And but it's a drawing of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. And the father represents God the Father. And that guy down there that looks pretty scruffy, that represents you. But not just you, the nations. God is calling everyone to come to him. He desires to have this father relationship with you. I don't know if you know that here. Have you received him, yeah, as your Savior, but have you received him as your Father? That one who wants to embrace you, who wants to tell you everything's going to be okay, who wants to heal your wounds, who wants to just be with you, like a daddy and his three-year-old. You know, well, I watch you, like my friend Shag is here. Unfortunately, he didn't come this morning, although I urged him. You're not out there, Shag, are you, hiding? No. And he's got a little boy named Grayson, and man, I can just tell, Shag is his hero. You know, he even looks like Shaggy, he does his hair like him and everything. And that's who God wants to be for us. He wants to be our hero. He wants to be our dad. He wants to hold our hand. And if you're an adult and maybe that sounds a little weird to you, get over it. You know? Get back to the basics, especially for men. Get back to, you know, that time when, if you remember, when I would hold my dad's hand, he was the biggest guy in the world. I remember even saying to him once, Daddy, are you God? My dad looked at me and goes, no. Not even close. No, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he did make it quite clear that he was not God. But he was so big to me, and that's who God wants to be to you. And that's the message to the nations. And Jesus came to give us this relationship. He laid down his life. And that's a message for every tribe, every people, every tongue, everywhere in the world. It's universal. It doesn't matter if you're from a tribe in the Amazon or you're from some wealthy nation. That's a core need. God created us for relationship with him. And so we have this privilege as missionaries, and you have the privilege, whether you know it or not, to send us out, maybe even come visit, to bring this message. And that message is a heartbreaker. That message humbles you. That message brings you back to the basics. Gets you away from all that theological junk that can really cloud. And a lot of that traditional stuff. You know, it brings you back to the heart of the message that God just loves you. And I know you've heard that 1,000 times, but there are people that have never heard it once. And that breaks my heart. Yeah, that's some stuff we do. So God wants to reach in every sphere of society, right? He doesn't just want evangelists. Yes, he wants evangelists, but he wants to reach here in America. He wants to reach even into Hollywood. He wants to go to San Francisco. He wants to go to the streets. He wants to go into business. He wants to go to Wall Street, all these places. And so that's what we attempt to do in Georgia, is try to let our people come in with the visions they have to make God known, to give them an opportunity. Corrine and I are not involved in every one of these, but at this point we're more mentors and like some staff call us, the kind of the mom and dad of the operation, because we're the pioneers, we're the people that started it. And this is some of the stuff our staff are doing. And I won't go through all of them, but we're reaching different people groups. We're especially focused on Muslims and children and Kurdish people and Georgians and Armenians. We do everything from build houses, repair people's places to a radio talk show, to going out to the streets just to do, like I said, to show people this picture of St. Nino and ask, who is she? Hoping it will lead us into being able to share the love of Christ. Next one. This is one of our training centers. This is our newest one. We led our first DTS there, I think it was in September 2017, so was it just after we were here 3 years ago. And God has really blessed us to be able to build this place. We can hold about 35 people. We have beds for, and if you don't mind not sleeping in a bed, we can get about 50 people in there sometimes for bigger groups. We're getting ready to have a camp there with Kurdish kids pretty soon, and they'll probably have 50 or 60 or 70 people there. So they'll have kids all over the place. But they love this place, and it's such a gift from God. And we run our discipleship training schools there. We run our seminars there. We house staff there. You can even see we even have a hammock in the front. So all kinds of stuff. We have a big meeting room in the top. It'll hold 100 or more people, and then classrooms and full kitchen and all that. It's really been a blessing from God. Next one. This is our house right across the street, so I don't have far to go to work. This was our training facility for a long time. It's got a full basement underneath. We have a classroom, and then it's got room for 14 people upstairs as well. And then the first floor is where we live. And we still use that, and we still use it for staff housing and things like that, so it's really great. Next one. This is another house training center we have out in an area called Marniuli. It's 99% Muslims out there, and most of our staff that work there are from Muslim backgrounds, and they speak the local languages, and they're very good. And one of our guys is a football coach, and we, in the back, football in Europe, soccer coach, and in the backyard we have a soccer field. Actually, John, Carol Ann, and Caitlin, and Andrew, and who else was on that team? Cambies? Caitlin Camby was there. They came and actually cleared this field. We were out there hacking through the weeds and using my Isuzu Trooper to pull out trees and, you know, just having a great time. But it's a wonderful field now, and the kids come from all over that neighborhood to come there. And we're there to teach them Swiss, but also to tell them about God. And many of these young Muslim men have come to Christ. They don't call themselves Christians. That might sound kind of strange, but they still might say, I'm Muslim, but I know Jesus. You know, Islam is, it may seem a world away from Christianity, but it's actually very close to Christianity in a way. They know God. They believe in, let's say, they're monotheists, which is a long way from Hinduism, where they're, we'd say polytheists, but I don't know how you say poly into the millions. You know, but the Muslims just need to find Isa, because he's in the Quran, that's Jesus. And they need to find him as their Savior. And then that will complete it. Then they can really know God as the Father. So it's actually not that hard to witness to Muslims. We have more, actually, luck with that, more success than we do to many Orthodox or religious people who don't really know God but think they do already. That's harder to break through that sometimes. This is a new building we have. It's an old building. We're rebuilding it, and it's going to be a center for Kurdish people. Kurdish people are one of the largest people groups in the world without a homeland. Maybe you heard of them. There's northern Iraq. They call that Kurdistan. It's not their own sovereign nation, but it's an area where they inhabit. And a lot of the main refugees running away from ISIS were the Kurdish people. And those are the main ones that America was arming to fight against ISIS. And still, even after our soldiers pulled out, the Kurds are still fighting ISIS and winning. And so we have a lot of Kurdish people in Georgia as well. And this is one of my fellow leaders. He himself is Kurdish, so he speaks Kurdish. And he speaks Russian and Georgian and English and Armenian. And he's a really talented guy. And he and his wife and their whole team, they run the Kurdish ministry. And it's just awesome. Next one. This is our apartment we have down in Batumi. Batumi was clear over on the west side on the Black Sea. It's the gateway to Turkey. Turkey is one of the most unreached people groups in the world. About 75 million people and maybe 3,000 to 5,000 Christians. I mean, it's so less than 1%. It's in the, you know, 0.000. And they are hungry for God there. They really are. And one of our greatest outreaches is when we take people to Turkey. and especially eastern Turkey. Not Istanbul is out in the west, and lots of people go there. But you go to eastern Turkey, and there's a lot of Kurdish people there, and there's a lot of people who've never really heard the name of Jesus. Maybe they've heard the word Isa, that's how you say Jesus in Kurdish or in Arabic, but never really thought of who he is. I remember saying to a taxi driver about Jesus, and he says, I don't know who that is. And I was blown away, but it's true. If I wasn't there, he never would have heard it. And he didn't come to Christ that day. But, that's one of their goals, is going into Turkey from there. But these are probably mostly Georgian kids, and it's a preschool we just started. It's still very small, but she has such a heart for children. And they're reaching out to all kinds of people, doing human trafficking, some of the massage parlors, which are quite often can just be prostitution. One of our girls, she's from Uzbekistan, if you've ever heard of that. Lovely young lady. And she goes out almost every day and just hangs out with those guys and talks to them about Jesus. And they love her there. Even the guy who runs the place, who's in charge of the girls, likes it when she comes. Because when she leaves, the girls feel better. You know, so she's inching them towards Christ. Next one. Okay, I'm done. So, thank you guys. Thanks for letting me share. I'm going to have Micah and Jesse come up and share a little bit.
Well, if you remember, my name is Jesse. This is my wife, Micah. We have been married for about a month and a half. And she is from the Netherlands. And that's where we got married. She came over to Georgia to work with my family. I wasn't there at the time because God told her to. And that's how I got to know her. Would you like to say?
So, I started to get interested in missions, and I started praying about doing a discipleship training school. And to put a long story short, I heard God say Georgia, and I didn't really know anything about Georgia. I just knew that it existed and kind of where it was on the map, but I looked it up online, and there was a discipleship training school in Georgia, so I went there, and I'm still there now.
So we were working together for a while, and my dad gave me an idea. Well, he suggested that I ask her out, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll consider it, you know, maybe. And then the more I thought about it, the more pent up and nervous I became, and I prayed a lot, and I thought a lot, and so after a while, I finally worked up the courage to stammer out the words that I liked her and ask her to be in a relationship with me, and she said that she would have to think about it. It left me waiting all night, and then the next day she told me yes, and I found out later that she had already liked me for a long time, actually, but that would have been nice to know while I was waiting that long night. Well, anyways, after working together more and going through some intense times, not with each other, but ministry, we finally ended up, well, I proposed to her. This is a recreation. I didn't propose to her with a ring because I wanted to make sure I could get one that fit and that she actually liked. But if we could, yes, we got married in the Netherlands so that all of her family and friends could be around. So that right afterwards we could come here, where all of my family is, and all of them would get to meet her. So it was really great, and we could. The time we spent working together, most of it was doing discipleship training schools. So that's working with mostly young adults and some older adults as well who come over from other countries or from Georgia as students. We've had a lot of people from America and Europe and even some people from Catalina who have come, and we basically teach them to get to know God better, to get into a closer relationship with him, and to know the Bible better. And then from there, to be able to bring other people into that relationship and basically be missionaries, whether they're out there in another country or even if they're at home, to be able to share God with anyone they meet. And so we have a teaching phase where we're all where we're teaching them, and Micah and I have assisted in that. We're staff, so we teach them some things. This is me trying to remind them of everything they've learned that week. And that's Micah standing next to me, giving me confidence, like she's doing now. And next slide. And keeping the notes. Yes, she's more organized than I am. And then we go out on outreach, where we go to other countries, and we do spend some time in Georgia and do ministry. Often we're partnering up with other YWAMers out there, but sometimes we're on our own, and we've even done this in countries where it's illegal to share God with people, as it is currently in Russia. This was in Ukraine. We were working with kids, trying to teach them English, which is a very important thing because many people want opportunities in other countries, in Europe or in America, because currently in places like Ukraine and Russia, there's a lot of widespread depression, there's a lot of alcoholism, there's a lot of corruption in the government, the school system is terrible, so any opportunities we can give them is really important because children are the future of the country. And Micah especially has a really big heart for children and working with them.
Yeah, because if you can introduce a child to Jesus, like at a very young age, and they have that relationship while they are growing up, their entire life, we really believe that they can change the society that they're living in. If there are a lot of Christian kids, and they grow up and they go into all these different spheres of societies, into politics, into the education system, into the medical field, they can really touch people's lives and change the country for the better. So that's why I am very passionate about reaching children. And that's what YWAM does all over the world. They do a lot of children's work. So yeah, we see it as something that's very important.
Children really like her. Some of them like me. I'm better at working with adults for the most part. Well, this is one of our teams from one of our schools. We actually had a bunch of people from America this time. And some people from other countries. You'll notice that some of the people's, some of their faces are all blurry. We did that on purpose because some of them come from countries where being a Christian or at least sharing your faith are illegal. So if their faces go onto Facebook or something like that and they see them with us, when they go home, they could get into big trouble, even get arrested or interrogated or not be allowed to leave their country. So places like Azerbaijan and China and Uzbekistan are closed countries in that way. But we still manage to get into them sometimes, but we have to be careful. So one of the things we do is teaching English. This is a group we joined up with in Georgia. It's a great opportunity because a lot of people want to learn English. And while a lot of them know about God, most of them don't know God. And so this is a really good opportunity to establish relationships with them and be able to share Jesus with them. This is our house, just specifically the two of us. My dad built it for us. It's basically kind of a log cabin, only made of Jenga blocks. And it's in his front yard. And
keeping him close.
That was his gift to us for our marriage and also a way to ensure that we stick around for at least a little while. And this is us going off to do new things in the world. We're going to be in Georgia for a while longer, but we're not quite sure after that. We're thinking about other places like Ukraine, where there's a lot of need. But we haven't heard from God clearly yet, so we're still praying about that. So, we're going to continue with ministry, continue reaching out to people, wherever that is, probably working with children. And pray for us. Pray that we'll know where to go and what to do specifically.
Amen. It's a 1970 Soviet Dnieper. Can you say Dnieper? Dnieper some noise. Say it. Yeah. That's some of our staff from all over Eastern Europe. We had a gathering not long ago. So I recently just actually stepped off the leadership team for all of Eastern Europe. So these are some of the countries that we represent, though. Georgia, Armenia, Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine. That's our region. It's actually the biggest region in YWAM in the world, mostly because of Russia. Have you seen the size of that place? Covers 11 time zones. When I go to teach on the Pacific Coast, I get jet lag because it's 8 hours time difference. Yeah, or it takes me 8 hours to get there or something. I forget. I'm going to have Tia come up now, introduce my daughter. She was born in Russia, if I didn't mention that before, and grew up in Georgia, so she's not completely American. And like me and her mom, we all have Georgian citizenship. So we're actually immigrants. We went to Russia down to the border. We climbed over the wall into Georgia, and we were detained. She was taken away from us for a little while. No, I'm just kidding. No. After living there for a long time, we just applied for citizenship, four times, and they gave it to us. So we're happily dual citizenship, and that is really great in many ways because it ensures that we can be there long term. You can't be kicked out of the country normally when you're a citizen of the country. It helps us to own land and develop things. And also, I can go many places with my Georgian passport that I can't go with my American passport. I can go to Iran, I can go to Central Asia, I can go to China, all these places without a visa. And when I get off the plane and say, "Oh, Georgia, welcome." When I get off as an American, they go, "Oh, America, over there. You step over there, you wait." And then get the questions. So I'm going to turn it over to Tia.
Kamen Jova Kwalani. Oh, loud. Mem Kuya Tatiana and Tia, Sari Mama Chemi, Rogostqua. Pirvelat Mindero Gitra and Gelb Aragot Kartulat. Sakartveloshi, Sakartvelos Vezahi, Georgia Sara, Marta Sakartvelo. Zalin Mihari Akroart, da. Quentwist has Ragat Sami Tekwa Unavi Tekwa, Aj Aruli Abhazuli, da Albert Lazurin, da Marts Lazustat, da Flying Lisurat on the Kadagi Tarnot.
That means hi.
So I said hi, basically, and that I would translate it into Georgian, but Gamar Joba actually is one word and does say hi, or hello, technically. So I said that we're very happy to be here, and I'm going to be doing a dance for you guys. I put together myself. It's kind of a combination of three different dances. Instead of like states like in the U.S. and Canada and other countries, Georgia is kind of split up into regions, and each region has their own costumes, their own specific foods, some even their own dialects and their own dances and songs. This is kind of just one of the costumes that goes over all of them. Generally, the guys actually would wear something like this, but in black. And most of the dances, you would do this. So kind of stand on your toes and dance around. But I'm a little bit out of practice, so sorry about that. And, so I'm going to dance for you guys.
Thank you, Tia. Now we're all going to come up. We're going to sing you a song. Bring my string. Here we go. A lot of times on these trips, it's just me coming up and speaking, but we're really trying to do the team thing this time where everybody gets the chance, because really one of our goals for this trip is to introduce these guys as kind of new full-time staff, although they've been on staff for a while, but it's a new married couple. And then Tia as well, she's 17 now, so she's has a lot of Georgia in her and a lot she wants to share as well. So we're going to sing a song, and it's in three languages. We're going to do English, Russian, and Georgian. So, what do we get? Is that the order we're doing it? Yeah, she says yeah. Okay. And it's actually originally written in Russian. I translated it.
I mean, it's English, and then somebody else translated it into Georgian. So it's, I never heard the song before. Imagine.
Father, thank you so much for this morning and just for the opportunity to be able to share a little bit about what we do and East in the Republic of Georgia. And yeah, it's a privilege to serve you. Lord, I know it's a privilege for every one of us to know you, Lord. Make you known in those places where you send us to, whether, again, it's here or across the street or on the mainland or to the ends of the earth. It's a privilege to know you, Father, and to partner with you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.